Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where so far we've seen Tom and the great people from Sunbury Motors. And we're brought to you today by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Adam Purdy stopped by earlier with Steve Engel, which is great to see them. On Mondays, we're sponsored by Purdy Insurance. And on Fridays, oh yeah,
come on now, start the weekend.
Brewers Outlet, yes. Brewers Outlet. We have our own pickle bar set up here. So stop by. All right. You want a sample. Let's see. Bread and butter, chipotle, hot garlic, garden mix,
bread and
horseradish,
butter.
Sweet hot, baby dill, garlic. All right. Triple X garlic. He brought barrels, and he also brought these tomatoes, which are great. Sweet and hot pickles. I mean, we have our own pickle bar here from Brewers Outlet. I mean, we are living large, okay? So remember, okay, we're double L here, living large. Chudder, EF, epic fail. I mean, he took that club out of the bag three times, right? And all three times, okay, I felt like, back in the day in practice when Joe Paterno would throw up his hand and say, "You're wasting our time."
Well, it's like he was willing the three of you to not hit it on the green.
He's the only guy I've ever seen that rooted for the other three people to be just short of the green. You've got three people in the group hoping one of us gets the ball on the green so we can putt for birdie. And you got one guy going, come on, just a little bit shorter. It's a hard way to play team golf when one guy's rooting against the other guys. Because he's got this make-believe fantasy club in the back. Okay, that doesn't work. Jack Nicklaus, said it perfectly. And this really encapsulates the suits game. You're allowed to have 14 clubs in the bag and only one swing. Oh my goodness. Somebody's flying a banner over Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Will you buy digital media? 1-800-K-HER. What the heck? All right. Kevin better not be flying it. If not, okay, Sarah's going to have something to report on at 4:30. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Fenway Park, Boston last night. Tim Neverett with the call. Hanmer Ramirez makes it two home runs in one night.
0-2. Swung on and hammered. Deep left field. Way out of here. Home run number two on the night for Hanley Ramirez as that ball lands on Lansdowne Street. Light tower power times two for Hanley. And it's 3-1.
The cask and flagon that time was under duress as he cleared everything last night. Hanley Ramirez, Tim Neverett with the call on the Red Sox, WEEI Star Market Radio Network.
That was a good scene last night when the fans gave Adam Jones the standing ovation.
Oh, that was very nice. And then Manny Machado came up and sailed through it behind him. And I'm listening this morning to talk, the sports talk, right? Oh, the optics of that look bad. And everybody else is like, no, we really didn't connect the two. It's like, but I am not one that likes the unwritten rules of baseball. I don't like that. Okay, you're talking about, let's talk about Chris Sale. Chris Sale is a guy that can throw, 96, 97? Now, he also has pinpoint control. He missed Manny Machado. He did not hit him. All right? But you're still throwing an object that is somewhat hard at 90-plus miles per hour at them. Say it does hit them. That's an unwritten rule? Really? Here's one. Strike him out. Make him look like a donkey. Yeah, and you get an out to boot. All right? Later in the game, Machado did hit a home run, by the way. But Sale's ERA is like 1.19. It's really obscene. Really good.
Well, you were ecstatic when they signed him last year. I mean, come on.
They got him in a trade. Somebody said, are you worried about the prospects they gave up? He says, you don't seem to get it. I said, I don't care who these people are. He said, Yoan Moncada. Okay. I think we'll take the established dude. All right. Let's bring in now Neil Kulong, USA Today. The suit could not stand the Steeler draft, but Neil is a broadcast professional who covers the Steelers. Neil, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. I think it was phrased right. The Steelers took a lot of people not to play the game, which didn't hurt. Let's start with T.J. Watt at the top. Obviously, he and Juju Smith-Schuster, two guys I got to see up close and personal in December and January. What were your thoughts on the Watt pick?
You know, I'll be honest. The first person I thought of after they took Water, I kind of suspected that was coming, was you. You and I, we talked about him a bit leading into the draft, and my thought is still really kind of the same after taking a real hard look at him after they selected him. He tested as a much better athlete than he plays, and I think a lot of it really is encapsulated by what Mike Tomlin said following. And at first I was kind of annoyed by this statement just because it seemed so Tomlin-like. Kind of almost like a spin, but it really actually makes sense the more I think about it. He's not raw. He's inexperienced. I think what he's saying right by that is he doesn't get off the line nearly as explosively as you think that he would. And if you think about the reasons why that might happen, it could just be a lack of real in-game repetition in reading a snap count and kind of figuring out how to use his feet, how to use his hands right away. He might be thinking a little bit too much at that point as well. All of these things really speak to a lack of snaps more than anything. I think that gets me a little bit more encouraged about him. But just, a lot of the people that I've talked to, a lot of what I've seen of him, he really looks to me more like he's going to be he's going to excel more against the run than he will in the pass rush. I don't know if they have a great pass rusher. And I think a lot of fans are expecting him to be that, but I'm not sure I'm sold on that at this point in his career.
I think when I watched him on tape leading up to the Big Ten championship game, then watched the championship game, the word I came up with him is I feel like he plays relentless. I think he's an all-out guy in every play. I also think that causes him, when he's an every-down guy, Neil, I think that causes him to eventually run out of gas in a game.
I could see that. I think that's a reasonably fair argument. What scares me, though, is that's very similar to how I probably would have talked about Jarvis Jones in 2013.
Yes.
He's a guy that got a lot of his sacks from effort. It wasn't like he put a great move on the tackle, ripped past it, and got to the quarterback in under a second or anything like that. It took him 2-3 tries sometimes. It almost looked like the offensive tackle just wore down. They couldn't take him anymore, and the quarterback held on to the ball for so long that, for whatever reason he was doing that, that led to the sack more than anything else. Watt definitely is a better athlete than Jones. You can see that. He's not as strong. He's not as powerful as Jones. I think the thought on Jones, too, was he could really become a plus run-stopping outside linebacker. That probably didn't happen quite to that degree, but he was reasonable enough. And I think the position they're going to have Watt play out on that right edge where James Harrison is now, it's a necessary component of this defense. They have to be strong against the run. And when you're picking 30th overall, you're not going to get Von Miller by and large. So really it's a good thing for them to have. But, yeah, I think him figuring out how to play within control of himself and not use so much of that emotion all the time and really try to be more of a tactician than just a street brawler at the position, I think will probably help him.
Juju Smith-Schuster gives me, in some respects, the Mike Williams of Clemson feeling. Neil, I watched him in the Rose Bowl, and, of course, obviously on tape leading him. I really like that pick a lot, especially because you don't know on a daily basis what Bryant's going to do.
I'm with you completely. I absolutely love Juju Smith-Schuster. Watching him play, He plays like a grown bleeping man, which is not something you see from a 21-year-old. He loves the game of football. He loves contact, and he absolutely hates tacklers. I love receivers like that. Everyone's going to make the easy comparison to Hines Ward because he's physical. He's a lot meaner than Hines
Ward. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hines literally had a smile on his face. When he was more like a cobra, you know. He kind of struck people at a precise moment. Smith-Schuster's looking to pound somebody every time he gets the ball. I love his mentality. I love his demeanor. And at this point, the kid said everything right about the opportunity that he has in front of him. You can tell he really, really enjoys the fact that he's coming to this team. I think he's going to be a great player. Definitely a fan favorite kind of player. He's going to make some plays. He's not the high-end athlete that you probably want
in
today's modern receiver. But between the numbers, he's going to be a load for anybody to handle. He's pretty quick. Very strong. He's just a violent runner after the catch.
That's why that's one of the things I looked at right away was he reminded me a little bit of Mike Williams of Clemson, because Williams is like a 4.7 guy. Juju's faster than he is, but he gets the ball at the high point and he'll fight for the ball. What'd you think of the Sutton pick out of the corner out of Tennessee?
I think that's interesting. He sort of looks a lot like many of the other cornerbacks the Steelers have taken in the third round over the year. You can definitely see Kevin Colbert's definition of what a third-round pick looks like, especially at the cornerback position. You don't want to go as far as to label him, you know, this specifically, but kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. He's a decent athlete. He's not a great one. He's decent in coverage. He's not great in coverage. He's a decent tackler. He's not a great tackler. You put all that together, and that can be a guy that can contribute, provided that he kind of picks up everything that he needs to do. And the Steelers have, you know, if they have factories at any two positions, one's wide receiver and the other's cornerback. One factory's a lot more profitable than the other. And I think this kind of fits more in the mold of, well, he's, you know, he's all right. He's a decent player. I'm not sure he's not already kind of more or less at his ceiling. Right. He doesn't have, you know, elite physical traits of any kind, but he can be a guy that might, give them a couple snaps a game early. I think he might be a little bit more ready for that than the other defensive players that they took. But by and large, I don't expect great things from him. I've certainly been wrong before, but he could be a solid enough player, definitely in the mold of a Ross Cockrell type,
right?
Somebody that they bring in and eventually earns more and more because he plays well. It's a pretty crowded cornerback position for him right now. They drafted two of them, and with what they already have there, it just kind of seems more like a two-year down the line type of pick.
All right, James Conner is one of the truly great feel-good stories of the draft, but you don't draft feel-good stories in the third round. You draft football players. Le'Veon Bell has not played a full season in a long time. So what do you think of the Conner pick?
It definitely is a great story, and you love to see a player that can overcome that kind of adversity. Two, what's interesting to me with the Steelers in compensatory picks, it almost seems like they value – those quote-unquote third-round compensatory picks, which really, by essence, are fourth-round draft picks.
Right.
The fourth round is really where you look to grab those kind of projects. You know, I forgot his name, Jarrell Hawkins, the offensive tackle from LSU that they took last year.
Right.
I think they gave him a practice and they gave him a red shirt. So players like that, they tend to take in the fourth round. And I'll point to another one, Dree Archer, definitely a project kind of player,
right.
A pet type of player. Was the compensatory pick in the third round the year he was drafted. So I think Conner is somebody that they expect to get something out of, but really, obviously, he's got a pretty big medical red flag and something they're going to want to continue to monitor. But I thought he looked pretty good. And before all of that, before his injury, I thought he looked great. I'm really impressed with him as a player. He's kind of the type that if you need 4 yards, he's going to get you five. If you need 10 yards, he's going to get you five type of guy. I don't think he's going to break a whole lot necessarily, but he's strong. He's powerful, and he plays the game with a certain level of aggression. Once again, I like that component in the player, especially if you're getting him around, you know, 95 to 100 in the draft. You're not going to get a finished perfect product, but I think Conner can complement them very well, largely because to add on to what you said about Bell, four of the six playoff games that he's been on the roster for, he hasn't played in.
That's right.
So that's obviously a concern. And one of those games, keep in mind, he took like five snaps.
Right.
So it really is an issue, and it's a position they absolutely needed to address. And I thought they did a good job of it.
Then there's Josh Dobbs. If it came time to send a candidate from the team to represent the team at Jeopardy, he's the guy. there aren't really many aerospace engineering quarterbacks out there. He's it. He has a lot of great tools, Neil, but he's also one of those guys that when he left Tennessee, you felt like, quote, there were unfulfilled expectations. And I think that probably comes down to accuracy. What do you see in Josh Dobbs?
It's all about the feet for him.
Yep.
You know, he's got it upstairs. He doesn't have it downstairs. He doesn't throw with any balance at all.
Right.
It's the real intriguing thing about him, this is a big part of the reason, once again, like I was saying about the fourth round, that's your project round. He's definitely that. You can't describe him any better than that.
Right.
But the success that he had in college with just woeful mechanics, that has to make you kind of excited if you're Randy Feichner. You have to look at him and say, all of this is fixable. I know what he's doing.
Right.
You know, just to go back to the proverbial Rocky conversation, tie string to his feet and teach him how to drop back.
Right, exactly.
Really,
yep.
With him, it's that simple. He has to go through that repetition 500 times a day for the next 2 years. If he does that, he's a great athlete. I think he's an even better athlete than he's given credit for. You're going to talk about the aerospace engineering thing. He's got to be the only major in the NFL, he's the only guy that's ever taken those classes before.
He's
it. It's good and everything, but as an athlete, it's almost like that was neglected because of how impressed they were with his intelligence. Once they get him all together, once they get him sorted out and really work on his fundamentals, I think he can be a pretty decent player. I'm not saying that he's, you know, Roethlisberger's replacement.
No.
Right now, clearly he's Jones's replacement. But yeah, I think I would have, if you compare the two together right now, two fourth-round picks, one in 2013, one in 2017, where they were at that point in their careers, I'd much rather have Dobbs than Jones.
Yeah,
so
no.
At the very least, I think they really evaluated the position well. And they got, you know, a nice little project that might be able to help them out down the road.
Right. No, exactly right. Then I've got to ask you, I mean, they just re-signed Greg Warren, but they draft Colin Hulba, the long snapper from Louisville. I mean, now, normally in the draft, there are certain positions where, like Tyler Yazian of Penn State just signed a free agent contract with the Detroit Lions. That's normally the route here, Neil.
I'm not sure if there are any other long snappers that have been drafted. I think the Patriots drafted one, and it almost seemed like a Belichick, I'm so arrogant, I'm going to do this just to get people to troll me kind of move. With this one, though, there's an interesting explanation to it. And part of it, Kevin Colbert touched on this a bit in his post-draft interview. In college, there are different contact rules, so that the snapper doesn't have to be big. They can hit him in the NFL. So if you trot out a 6'1", 170-pound guy to snap in the NFL, he's going to get murdered.
yeah.
With that, you have a certain level of need for a guy with size. And with that, Colbert's saying that it doesn't happen often. That's true. We evaluate a long snapper and give him a draft grade. It hasn't happened often, right, is what he said.
I mean, he's 6'4", he's 6'4", 248. Now, a lot of the guys, and I've been working on charts for the upcoming season, and long snapper's on there for me. There's so many guys between 220 and 227 in college. This guy's 248. I mean, he's got size.
Yep, that's exactly it. It really what it comes down to, and everything that I've heard from people in the scouting business, it's more of the fact that he's 6'4". You don't see guys that long that are doing it. My only thought is, more than anything, it's like, geez, go tell any 16-year-old who's 6'3", 250 pounds right now, learn how to snap a ball.
That's right.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh.
I've been to the Steelers practice. Greg Warren is a great guy. He really is. Really, really nice guy. I don't know how much work he really does. You know?
I mean,
in practice, there isn't much.
And not only
at the same time,
Neil, you can hang.
You can count a bad snap. You know,
Neil, you can hang
it,
in this. Yeah, if you can hang in this league for a long time, Jim Peterzak and Steve DiAsi snapped each for 15 years. 15 years they snapped. Wow. I mean, they're guys that they never go to concussion protocol.
Interestingly enough, Warren before and spent two seasons on the IR.
Great.
without really getting hit. He just kind of stepped on it wrong. But there's a certain level of rarity with the position, and I understand that. And in the end, it's definitely something that you're going to rip on them for, and if the team goes 8-8 this year, everyone will blame the long snapper that they took in the sixth round.
Right.
I get why they did it. It is a little bit weird. You're not losing a ton. Yes, I know that Antonio Brown was drafted in the sixth round. I'm going to say that Antonio Brown wasn't available this year. That's just the odds-on likelihood of the situation. Let's be realistic, okay? You don't even get Kelvin Beachum in the seventh round very often.
Right.
It's not as if that happens a lot.
Of course not.
That said, if the guy never messes up a snap, then great.
Perfect.
But my only thing is, Tampa Bay last year took a pretty big gamble drafting a kicker in the second round, trading up for a kicker in the second round, and he was literally one of the worst kickers in the NFL last year.
Yeah,
so,
Aguayo.
If he screws up once, you're in real trouble.
Yeah, Aguayo missed nothing at Florida State, right? He made up for it at Tampa Bay.
And he missed all the kicks at Tampa Bay. He was like 4-for-8 at one point, like by week 6 or something. It's like, oh my God, this isn't good. The poor kid. Oh, man.
We're going to outsmart everybody and make this pick. And then you end up.
You have this. This guy's involved in points all the time. Let's get him out there. All right, well, he cost you 2 touchdowns on the season when you were sub 500. Way to go.
Yeah. And on that, we wrap it up. Neil, thanks so much. Appreciate the time as always.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today, breaking down the NFL draft. It appears to be a completely different take than the 4 hours of massive negativity we got from the suit this morning about the Steeler draft.
We're due for a refreshing change of pace.
Neil comes on and gives us a professional point of view. All right, so what?
No, I'm with you.
I mean, between that, the chutter, then the analyzing every shot. I mean, it was like riding in the car with Ian Baker Finch. We'll come back with more in a moment. We're at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Corey, is this the view of all views?
This is beautiful.
I mean, it does not get any better than this in terms of the actual view that we get here on the veranda every single year. It is gorgeous. And it's been a long time since anybody's hit the green here. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Imagine getting behind the wheel and looking forward to your journey ahead. If when you turned your car on, it did the same for you. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury has the full 2017 Lincoln lineup ready to invigorate your driving experience with affordable American luxury. Well-qualified buyers can take advantage of $4,000 cash back and 0% for 72 months on the luxurious 2017 Lincoln Navigator. Or lease a new 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive for $363 per month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is your destination for affordable American luxury. Located in Sunbury in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit. Lease based on stock number LB738, 10,000 miles per year and $3,900 total due at signing. Zero security deposit, tax and fees extra. Offer ends 5/3/2017.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Oh, what a gorgeous afternoon. Great cause, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Probably better than $20,000 raised again, and probably up near $250,000 since the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA has become the beneficiary of this tournament. 42 teams signed up today. We thank every one of them for being a part of this. And it's also been about an hour and a half since we've seen a ball hit the green here on 18. I just like to point that out. It's been a while. Now, there's one to the edge there. And, of course, we're brought to you today by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Purdy Insurance, of course, our Monday sponsor. So great to partner with Adam Purdy and the entire group who've thrown their heart and soul into this and giving back.
And then Corey's here from Brewers Outlet. We are having Pickle Fest 2017 out here on the veranda. Stop by, right? You're missing something if you don't. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Do we get a sound effect here?
I don't know if got a guy in the if Chad's got the music ready or not for that.
Our sports bozo.
Oh, it's okay.
Honestly, Chad, really a disappointment.
That's on me because I should have told you we could have.
No, Chad, you talk. I'll get it on for you.
No, Chad. It's all right. I mean, really, there have been four people on the air today associated with the station. Right? I mean, you know, three of them have been good.
There you go.
There we go. Our sports bozo of the day is anybody who wants to use a club called the Chutter. We've done an informal survey of several different groups. In fact, so far, of the 34 groups that have come forward to, past here today, 34 so far, four golfers each, right? Which comes out to, what, 136 players? Oh, for Chutter. Only one group had that club in the bag today. The only person I've ever played with that was rooting for three people to be short of the green. It's a team event. The other three people are hoping somebody gets it in like 5-6 feet. We can putt, do whatever. We've got one guy rooting for the ball to be short. So he can take out this thing and then, I mean, swing and a miss. That's just a bit outside. Down the right field line, that one's slicing foul.
Well, you do have to admit, though, on the hole where you were 8 inches from the cup on, was it 14? Was it, I think it was 14.
Whatever the number is.
At least that was the one time I think there could have been a moment or two where he maybe didn't even think the Chutter wasn't even in his bag. He maybe not even thought about it.
Well, there was a moment twice during the round that we took it out of his bag, hoping he wouldn't find it. But that is our sports bozo of the day. All right, it's illegal in 32 states. Okay, I believe it is legal on the Malaysian tour. So I did tell him that. I said, I think this is legal in the Malaysian tour. He says, this is an effective club. I said, yes, in Haiti. That is our sports bozo of the day. I just wanted to connect it with the tournament. The connectivity between the show and the tournament I felt was important.
Well done.
It was just such an easy target. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, seriously. Dave Ritchie was great today. Craig was great today. You were great out there today. And Sued had his moments. He did.
There was two or three moments that weren't all that great that I should have got on video and I didn't. So.
Excuse me. I told you to get his highlights on video.
Yeah.
All right. Remember that time with the divot when he was out there putting the sand in? Right. It's my job to try and make people look good, Corey. I mean, so, you know, a couple great shots of Craig hitting the ball, Dave hitting the ball, some great scenics and the whole thing. We didn't have any highlights yet of the suit. And so when they came out to fill Craig's divot on a shot, I told you, start filming.
Yeah.
Now, the other time I told you to start filming, I want to say it's on 11, right?
These
is the back nine.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the one that goes along Country Club Road. All right. And I hit a ball to the left of the green, and we took that shot. Oh, take Pickles, really. Hey, Mike, dig in.
Dive in.
Okay, this is Pickle Fest 2017. Roll in. Okay? So I hit my shot to the left of the green. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It was an alleyway in between the two traps, so we're going to chip up. So I told you when the suit got up to chip to film it. Now, this is on you. This was a fail.
It is.
All right?
It is.
The suit went up and chipped it right into the rake. Right. Now, you could have...
Which is barely 20 feet ahead of him.
Okay, now, you could have gone out, you could have posted it, put it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the station page, the whole thing. And I'm telling you, the number of likes would have gone through the roof. I cannot do all the thinking. I can't do producing and directing. I'm trying to play.
I will say, though, the communication between the four of you was great, because after the tee shots, you were kind of figuring out yardage left of the pin.
Craig and I talked about that a lot today.
Yeah.
I mean, Craig really knows how to play.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, what we thought was the best shot. Hey, do we want to come in this way, because there's a big lip coming down, so if you hit it, it's going to roll, so you want to play with a backstop. So we were trying to think our way through the round. I think most of the suit's thought process dealt with the chip he had in his ball and where it was, because he's constantly looking to try and find it.
Yeah.
But we found it most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stayed off the phone pretty much today.
Because I ordered him to stay off the phone today. We started the round. I said, no phones today. None. Okay, let's bag it. Hey, guys. How are you? Great to see you. No phones today, right? Didn't want phones.
You just barely stepped off the parking lot this morning at 5 of 8. That was the first thing you said.
Right. But there's something to that.
Yeah.
I told you it was, what's today, the 3rd? So it was 2.5 weeks ago, Jack Ham and I went to a scrimmage in the stadium. And, Jack had done some business in Johnstown and Altoona, so he was able to come up to go to it. So the two of us are standing out there, and and we've been out there for at least an hour while they're scrimmaging, maybe more than that. And at one point he looks over at me and he says, hey, Steve, what time you have? And I said, I don't know, Jack. I don't have my phone with me. And he looks at me and he says, neither do I. This is great. He says, this is great. He says, two guys in 2017, no phones. He says, just talking. Right? That's why when we got in the parking lot today, I said, look, no phones. Okay, no phones. There's nothing more important going on right now. Now, at the turn, if you want to check your phone if something has happened. Now, it turned out that for the suit, he had to go to his phone because guess what? He looks over at me, all right, and says, what's today's date? I said, it's May 3rd. He goes, oh, my God, it's my wife's birthday.
Yeah, we were on the second or third hole this morning.
So then, later in the round, it comes up again. That he was able to text her, and he's the fifth person to text her today that it was her birthday and all things. I looked over at Sean and go, oh, there's a tight-knit family. And then he starts to explain to us what her age is. Now, I'm not going to get into that.
No.
Okay? Starts to explain to us what her age is. And he's explaining her age, and he keeps getting it wrong. Right? Now, the four of us...
At one point, wasn't she older than he was?
Yes. Dave, Craig, Sean, and I are standing there, right? And number one, we're not interested. Okay? And number two, we can't help him as to what her... We have no idea what her age is. And he's going through this long, convoluted story where... You ever see, in movies, athletes like Kevin Costner,
right?
When he throws the perfect game, right? For the Love of the Game is the name of the movie, he's able to block out in those key moments all the noise. That's what I did during the story. Took out a 5-iron, just hit it.
I just felt bad. I didn't have his wife's cell number, so I could text her a birthday greeting before he could.
Yeah, the entire group, happy birthday, happy birthday. The entire group's like, happy birthday. People shouldn't even know. Right. Meanwhile, husband of the year. Suddenly it's out of nowhere. Like, this comes up, right? We're how many days away from Mother's Day? You couldn't connect the two.
I would have thought he would have stayed a little longer to delay the inevitable.
I don't think we want to think about what the inevitable is. I would hope he would take her out to dinner tonight.
At least.
No, absolutely. No, I think there's a good chance. You know, and I hope she enjoys a Big Mac. All right, so we'll come back. What?
Oh, we just got a text from the suit. I'm the bozo. Woohoo.
Oh, text this back. Finally, number one at something. We'll come back. This is the reason we're having a lot of laughs is because we had a lot of laughs all day here. And that's what being a part of something like this, you know, that makes it fun. That number one, you're doing something for a great charity. Think of all the children today that are going to be helped in the Valley, because the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA does a great job. A great job. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is going to raise more than $20,000. Okay, that's what today's about. 42 teams. We've been over 40 teams in each of the 6 years that we've been involved in talking about the tournament. We're very proud of that, and very proud to be associated with the Purdy family, Adam Purdy, Purdy Insurance. Saw Tom today. Always proud to be with Sunbury Motors. Got Corey here today. We're always proud to be associated with Corey and Brewers Outlet. And with all of you, look how beautiful this view is today. What a view, what a cause. We're at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. How about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament? By the way, it's great to see you at Nottingham Village here today.
Yes, the tradition unlike any other. Yes. Judy Carr stopping by to see
Judy
us.
Carr?
She was actually stopped by to see us before we got the show rolling today.
Judy Carr out there. It's great to see Judy. It's great. Oh, we've had a fun day today.
Listen, I feel the need to have equal time here to defend myself in this last half hour of the program.
Just one quick note, programming-wise, we need to take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Best bumper music of the day.
I did forget her birthday, okay? I did not forget my wife's birthday.
What are you talking about? When somebody looks at someone else and asks, quote, what's today's date?
Yeah, did I? No, that doesn't mean I forgot her birthday. It's just I didn't realize today was the 3rd. That's the difference. It's not the same thing.
It sounds it.
Sounds to me like you blew it.
And here's the other thing. You make it sound like I got her nothing. She's already gotten her birthday presents. You know, that's already taken care of. I took care of that days ago.
I don't think I want to ask.
Neither do I.
And besides, if you ask her, the first thing she'll tell you is, I don't have a birthday anymore. She stopped counting a while back.
So you're really taking the life out of her, huh?
Yeah, it's almost 25 years. Believe me, she's put up with a lot.
Yeah. I didn't forget her birthday. What's today's date? What is today?
3rd. I thought
today's May 3rd.
Yes.
And that's and what did I say right after that? Today's her birthday, and I didn't say happy birthday yet.
Normally, people have that in their mind going into said day. I mean, they don't have to be reminded by a coworker on the golf course.
Well, all right. This makes it even worse. The real problem was I have it on my calendar and it didn't go off on my phone today. It went off yesterday. So I was really messed up when I saw it go off yesterday and not today.
So you set the alarm for yesterday so you wouldn't forget today?
I set the alarm for a reminder for yesterday.
This is the person we're trusting to sell, quote, digital media?
Hey.
Okay, I just want to get this straight.
Yeah, I got nothing for that. I can't defend that.
I just want to make sure that that's what we have. Now, you actually, as the round went, I thought you got better and better and better. But you're the only person I've ever played a round of golf with that rooted for three people to be short of the green.
Well, I'm not going to deny that. I did root for that a few times to play the Chutter, but I'm telling you, I played the Chutter so poorly today. I was barely 1-for-3 in Chutter play today, and it wasn't even a good 1-for-3, that at some point I just wanted to putt the ball.
Overrated club. Overrated club.
No. Just underrated swing. That was the real problem. Hey, you've got a long drive home. Don't fall asleep yet.
Oh,
and I'm sorry I left too early. I missed the pickle bar. I'm like, oh, man, my timing is terrible.
You shouldn't have left. Corey showed up today. Look, Tom and Sunbury Motors, I saw them. It was great seeing Tom out here today. Adam Purdy was on with us today. It's great to see all the Purdy insurance people today. Bonnie, of course, Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Judy Carr was here today from Nottingham Village. And then Corey shows up from Brewers Outlet with our own exclusive personalized pickle bar, which is Mike. You loved it, right? Mike, he's over here. He's loving it.
Have they named a pickle after you yet?
Have they named a pickle? No, they have not named a pickle after me.
I'm sure that's coming. They're going to work on a concoction that's going to be the Steve Jones.
Have to be something in the barrel variety, right?
That's perfectly fine. And not only that, but like the date that they were to put that out, I would probably remember it.
Hey. Just so you know, Kevin, my birthday's in 10 days. You have 10 days.
I'll write that down, Chad.
Okay.
Yeah, the Steve Jones pickle is going to be just a little on the dill side, and there'll be an aftertaste forever.
I just want you to know that Mother's Day's coming up, then it's Memorial Day, then the 4th of July.
We lump Mother's Day and her birthday together. They're too close. That's like if you're born right around Christmas Day. You don't separate the two.
Whoa. Kathy's birthday is December 29th. All right? I do not give her, lumped in together Christmas and birthday gifts. I give her Christmas gifts, and then I give her a full birthday gift. Gifts. Well, I mean, I'm talking multiple gifts.
For what she's had to put up with you for over the years, I could understand why you'd have to do that.
I've given a good life. What are you talking about?
I'm with Steve on that. My daughter's birthday is the 29th, too. We always make it.
Right.
My older brother-in-law, his birthday is the day after Christmas.
Right. Do you lump? No, nobody lumps.
No.
I want to make sure that her day is a special day, and I give her
that's Daniel's job,
presents, dinner, things like that.
Daniel's job for Mother's Day. He's 18 now. He can do it himself.
That's not true. Okay? That's not true. Okay? It's for the entire family to salute the matriarch of the family.
I did not forget her birthday. I just didn't remember what day today was.
I'm not sure that's a great explanation either.
I guess I got to go buy a cake on the way home.
Okay. That also brings up other issues we need to discuss.
Nice seeing you. Nice playing along with you today, bud.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to have you here, man.
Thank you, sir. This was so much fun. Loved it.
Well, you hung in there pretty well all day, following us around the cart. Hey, our thanks to the Purdy family for allowing us to be a part of this and the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club.